Welcome back to another episode of Unyielded, Thriving No Matter What. I'm your host, Bobby Kaler. On this podcast, we explore all things related to thriving and flourishing in life. There are three fundamental truths that inform not just my podcast, but my coaching as well. And they are, number one, the future can be changed. You are not stuck and you are not trapped by your predictable future. Wherever you are right now, it's just your present state. It does not determine where you can go in life. Fundamental truth number two, you can change your future. This might be the best news of all. You don't need to be rescued by someone else. You can do that for yourself. In other words, you can be your own hero. And fundamental truth number three, you do not have to wait. Too many people think that they have to have the perfect plan or all the knowledge or all the skills before they can get started. Nothing is further from the truth. I've coached a lot of people in my career. And trust me when I say that you can learn whatever it is that you need to learn along the way. The key is to start. If you've listened to the podcast before, you'll probably know that we find stories and experts who shed light on these different areas so that we can all flourish and thrive. Let's dive in to today's episode. My guest today is one of the most successful entrepreneurs that I know. Back in 1983, he and his brother started Jacob's Brothers Bagels in Chicago, which they eventually sold. He has since started Peace Brewery and Pizzeria in Chicago, which has won numerous awards for both its amazing pizza and its world-class beers. He has always impressed me for the way that he has balanced entrepreneurship with life balance and the things that are important to him. His name is Bill Jacobs, and I can't wait for you to meet him. Billy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Bobby. Thanks for having me.
I have been so looking forward to this interview. I mean, obviously you and Rick, you guys have known each other. How long have you known each other?
When did Rick move to Chicago?
Early 90s.
Okay. So I've known Rick since the early 90s.
Since then. Oh, my goodness.
A long time. And we met through playing Ultimate.
Yeah. The Ultimate connection right there, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, hey, I thought maybe we'd get started by, could you just kind of introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about what you do and who you are?
Yeah. My name is Bill Jacobs and I live in Chicago. I just turned 60 and I'm having trouble believing that. And, you know, I'm in the restaurant business and I've been in the restaurant business since just graduating college in 1983 and moved to Chicago with my brothers to bring authentic East Coast style bagels to downtown Chicago, and then segued into my business, which is Peace Pizzeria and Brewery, in 2001. So we sold the company, which was called Jacobs Brothers in 1999, Jacobs Brothers Bagels, and opened up Peace in 2001, and had the good fortune of going back into the bagel business because I was able to buy the building that Peace is in. And brought back the bagels 6 years ago in a concept called Bro Bagel. It's a very small storefront. So yeah, that's it. You know, since 1983 till now, I've been in the restaurant business and, you know, and I've lived it, I've learned it, and I've had the good fortune to succeed.
Yeah. And a lot of people say the restaurant business is a really tough business to succeed in.
I wouldn't recommend it to anyone. I'll tell you later about how I raised money for Peace, and you know, and I shook all trees and got used to rejection, and you know, I felt like an actor going out for auditions. You know, it's really tough. The restaurant business is tough, and you know, the failure rate, as everyone knows, is very high.
Yeah. Very, very high. And so what has been, because like Peace is super successful. You've won how many, the beer awards, how many of those have you won?
We've won 28 medals at the World Beer Cup and Great American Beer Festival over all these years. And we are the most award-winning brew pub in Chicago.
And that's saying something.
Yeah. I mean, it's a super competitive field, as everyone knows.
Yeah.
And there's great beer everywhere, but we've done it the right way.
Yeah. And pizza is not exactly a stranger to Chicago.
No.
You know?
No. And our pizza is modeled after the pizza that I grew up eating in New Haven, Connecticut, which is thin crust, and you fold it and fold it. And, you know, it's a great product. And it was unlike any other pizza in Chicago when we opened in 2001, because as everyone knows, Chicago is the land of deep dish pizza.
Yep. Yeah. And I have to say, we love where we live right now, but man, we cannot get a good pizza. Just we cannot.
I imagine. And that's true for most of the country. You know, you probably have Domino's or Pizza Hut, one of them.
Yeah. We don't even have them.
Oh, is that right?
No, it's bad. Really, it is bad. We have to make our own pizza.
maybe we should do something about that.
There you go. That would be awesome. Because sometimes, like, especially on a Friday night, we're like, wouldn't you just love a good pizza? And it's like, yeah, forget it. Not happening. So the restaurant business, it is a tough business. It's a crowded space. How have you been so successful?
Well, it all starts with product. It starts with having great pizza, great beer. And you know, and then in the 80s and 90s, great bagels. And again, today with great bagels. So it's all about great products. And how we deliver it to the customers. It's great service and it's marketing, you know, and then you've got to bring it all together because you have to understand operations. You have to understand food costs. You have to understand your numbers, you know, the economics that are involved, and you have to make it work. So, you know, it's about having that product, delivering it to the public and marketing it. The restaurant business is so challenging, and the way that we've made it work is that we have created a great product, be it a great authentic crunchy and chewy bagel or a New Haven thin crust pizza or award-winning beer that we brew ourselves, and having those great products and delivering it to the public and understanding how to market it, understanding how to present it to our customer, and also understanding how the economics that are involved in our business, which obviously is essential. You have to understand food costs, and you have to understand, you know, your fixed costs, your labor, your overhead. Labor is not necessarily a fixed cost, but your rent, things that you have control of, you have to be able to control. But there's so many facets of this business that you have to bring together, and you have to understand, and no one person has all those answers. And I know that I certainly have not, but I figured out how to get from point A to point B by surrounding myself with people who have the skills and the talents that I don't. And that's really important when you build a business, is to understand your own strengths and weaknesses and how to shore up your weaknesses and how to trust people and how to build a great team. Because you can't do any of these things without having great employees who get it done day in, day out, you know, and we've created a fantastic, great and warm culture for our employees. We are coming up on 20 years on July 27th. We still employ 7 of our original employees.
Really?
So, and that's one of the things that I'm most proud of, is to say that we've employed people for so long, because, you know, that's an indication that we're doing things right. Because regardless of how much money someone makes, no one's going to stay if they're not treated well. And we consider everyone to be family. That's what it is. You know, that's who we are, you know, and we care about each other. So, you know, we still have all these people started from the beginning, and those who did not have been with us for many years. So, you know, we figured out how to provide them with benefits and how to give them a great place to be.
Yeah. Well, turnover is usually, that's usually a big deal in the restaurant business.
Absolutely. Huge.
Yeah.
And we've done exceptionally well. I would say that we are in some ways an anomaly in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact of the matter is, what everyone needs to recognize is, if you create a great culture and you're able to have your people for so long, it works hand in hand, because they care about what they do, the product that they're delivering, and they stay. you know? So, you know, that's how we've built this business. And, and I'm very proud of that.
Yeah. And when you talk about building a great culture, and you mentioned a few things there, but any secrets to building a good culture?
I think that it's being able to identify with your people, to have empathy, to treat everyone with dignity and respect, to know everyone's name, to take time to say hi to everyone, and to employ people who share these same feelings that I have, you know, these feelings that, you know, we're in this together, and we need to take care of each other, and we need to treat each other with respect and with love.
Yeah.
So it does start at the top, from the top down. And I know that my managers, who've been with me a long time, feel the same way. And I'm grateful for them, and I'm grateful for the team that we've created.
Yeah. How did you guys, you know, because in the restaurant business, COVID could not have been an easy time.
No.
How did you guys weather that?
I've always said that you know, there's never been we weren't given a playbook for a pandemic.
No.
You know,
nobody was.
You know, we had to learn. Nobody was, right? Because if there's one out there, I wish we had it.
Yeah.
You know, we had to look at the hand that we were dealt, and we had to adjust as we went, you know, and things changed, and, you know, the understanding of COVID changed. We took everything very seriously. We shut down even before the governor mandated a shutdown, because we were concerned, we were worried, we were scared, and we said, we're just going to pull back and wait, and we're going to listen, and we're going to learn. So we actually shut down operations before we had to.
Wow.
And as far as I know, I think we're the only restaurant that might have done that in the city. It was a good thing. It was a good statement that we made. And then we reopened, and we put procedures in place. I had a doctor friend who was an infectious disease doctor, David Nyack, who came and looked at our operations and helped us put procedures in place to make sure that you know, we were doing it as best as we possibly could, you know? So, you know, we were masking up, we were taking temperatures. You know, we went to paper plates and disposables. And we spaced out all of our tables. Everyone wore masks to and from the table when they could. And there was a period of time in which we didn't have dine-in, so we did delivery and takeout.
Wow.
And no one could come into the restaurant to pick up their pizza. It was all done curbside, no contact. And that holds true for our delivery. It was contact-free. So we learned. And during that time, I think we did a really fine job of continuing to employ our people. And to this day, we've done well.
Yeah.
So, well, we're just opening up next week.
Oh, really?
We got the green light. Yeah.
Oh, that's exciting.
Yeah. So, you know, restaurants are opening. The ballpark's opening to 100%. So it's a great thing. You know, so we're all very excited. We really have. We really weathered the storm. And one thing that I learned is that, and a lot of people probably recognize this, is that pizza and beer and bagels too were a good place to be in a pandemic, because it's comfort food, it's portable, and it's affordable, you know?
That's right.
So it was really a good place to be, which is not to say that we made a lot of money, because that wasn't our goal. Our goal was to survive, and we did survive.
Yeah. And I think, Billy, when you're talking there about, you know, weathering the storm, when I think about entrepreneurs, that's a key piece, because we never know what's going to come our way. And, you know, being able to adapt to challenges and that type of thing, that's just critical.
Absolutely.
You know?
No question about it. And that goes for a business is an evolution, right?
That's
it
right.
It changes, and you have to understand trend, and you have to understand how to keep your concept, your business, as fresh as possible to the public.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to have the appearance of keeping the status quo, of not changing, of not doing what people want to see. People want to see growth. They want to see something unique. You know, for us, we've created collaborations with chefs and people in the music business, you know, And we've done these charitable things. These collaborations had a charitable component to it. So those are the types of things that we've really done well, which have kept us front and center in our business. But getting back to, you know, the idea that a business is an evolution, we always have to take a look at where we are in our business and what we need to do to make it better.
Yeah. I think a lot of times people want to get to maybe a certain level and then just stay there. And yeah. And what you're saying there is you have to find a way to stay fresh. That's what I'm hearing.
Well, my approach, my strategy was, well, if you're going to get to a point and you're going to stay there, someone's going to crawl up your ass and steal your business.
You know, don't want that.
You can't get complacent in this business.
No.
You have to be creative. Mm-hmm. And you have to keep pushing forward. And I always like to say, Bobby, that peace is not the same business it was a week ago, a month ago, 6 months ago, a year ago, or years ago, because right. We have to evolve and we have to change and we have to make it better. And I say this as we approach 20 years, it's still our approach. We still have to figure out how to make it better because, you know, there's no perfection. There's no perfection anywhere, but we can be very good. And I think we are really very good at what we do. You know, but we try to push the envelope and be better all the time. And it could yeah. be, it could be with our service, you know, it could be in a bringing out a new product, you know, but it's all about having that approach to make the business better all the time. You know,
yeah.
If we stop that strategy, well, we're probably, it's not going to be good. You know, like,
yeah.
You don't want that. At that point, we would need new leadership. You know?
Yeah. Well, and I would think that'd be kind of energizing for the team.
Absolutely. You know, because you have to keep your team excited.
Mm-hmm.
This is what we're going to do. We're going to roll out this new collaboration. This
yeah.
is what we're going to do. We're getting ready to reopen. We're going to be putting tables back in place. Our customers are coming back in. We need to tweak our reservation system. You know, we're going to start to book more parties, larger parties, which we obviously couldn't do because mm-hmm. of the occupancy restrictions.
Yeah. Well, and I wanted to go back to something you said earlier when you're starting Peace and you said you had to get used to rejection. I think yeah. that's one of the big fears that a lot of people have. So how did you work through that?
Well, there are two things. One, I think that I was referring to raising capital. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That I was being specific, but I had to raise capital for the restaurant. And, you know, I raised $1,050,000. And today, that's not a lot of money, especially when you're building out a big restaurant. But I did it. And I went out there and in the year 2000, at a time in which tech stocks were flying high, you know, you could buy.
Yeah.
Wow, and all these stocks and you're not going to make a lot of money. And people were making a lot of money. And people would look at my thing and say, restaurants are risky. It's a risky business. Why would I want to do that? You know, and I'd get rejected, you know, not just market conditions, but restaurants in general are just super risky. So mm-hmm. it really is, you have to have an appetite for it as an entrepreneur. You have to have an appetite for it as an investor. You have to know who you're investing in. So yes, that's right. And when I came out with this, my business plan, which focused on this pizza from New Haven, Connecticut, people were like, where's New Haven? What's this pizza? I've never heard of it. You know, this is Chicago. People aren't going to go for it. And that was, you know, it's part of an education process that I went through. And I think that today, if you're in the food business, if you know pizza, New Haven is known for its pizza today. In 2000, when I built this business plan, or just before in 2001, even after opening, it was still an education process mm-hmm. that we went through, letting them know about this different style of pizza. So yeah, I mean, that was all part of education, understanding rejection, but knowing that our product was excellent and knowing that we knew how to execute it the right way. So I actually, my good friend was working at the greatest pizzeria in New Haven, which is called Sally's. And a lot of people believe Pepe's is the place. Well, Pepe's is a great pizzeria, pizza also, but Sally's, having grown up there, is really, it's outstanding. And my friend was working there, and he came out here, and we made pizza and we baked them, and we were able to do it. And I'm like, well, I know that we could get it done. So that's where it all started. But you got to know how to make your product.
Right. And have something that you believe in is the other thing I heard you say there. You know,
absolutely.
Very cool.
Full confidence. Get a full confidence, no doubt. And you have to understand that it's not going to be easy.
Mm-mm.
You know, if it was easy, everyone would be doing it, right?
Do it. You know,
I came to Chicago with this New Haven pizza, and people are like, "What the hell are you doing?" You know,
you know.
But fortunately, it worked. And I always said, Bobby, that you don't have to tell someone something tastes great. You know, people will recognize right away that it's a great pizza. You know,
yeah.
Or it's a great bagel. It's a great pint of beer. You know, just.
They'll recognize it.
They'll recognize it. Exactly.
Yeah. But having the confidence in it, it makes it, I think, a lot easier to put yourself out there and, you know, face rejection or whatever it might be, you know?
Yeah.
So,
about it.
Yeah. So shifting gears a little bit, because one of the things that I think that you have always done super well is you have found a way to be a very successful entrepreneur and have a balanced life, you know? Could you speak to that a little bit?
Sure. Well, let's talk about the early days first, when I was actually here managing the floor, you know, and as a younger person, I say in my 40s, at 40, we opened Peace, right?
Oh, that's
but
right.
But I was kind of, you talk about insecurities, right? Insecurities in your own abilities, you know, and as a manager, I don't think that I was always the best manager, and I would be a hothead at times. But I learned over time, Bobby, as Peace grew and as I grew as a person, as a manager, to pull back, to empower my people, to let them do it their way and not to micromanage. To this day, I don't go in there to tell them what to do. They know what to do, you know, and for me, it has allowed me to have a good work-life balance. And I think that's very important, and it's very healthy. But like the business, it was all part of my own evolution.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, learning how to become a better manager and recognizing that, again, no one person has all the answers. And you have to have a lot of respect for what you don't know. And when you do that, you could become a better manager and you can build a very good business. But I think that's really essential in becoming a really good leader and manager of people, understanding your shortcomings, you know, and empowering people and building a team.
Mm-hmm.
You know? When you have your team in place and it's a good team, they're going to do it the right way. You know, we have bonuses and bonus plans in place. People can qualify for benefits at Peace at 20 hours. But again, you know, getting back to your point, work-life balance is a very important thing. I'm able to do a yoga class every day. I'm able to do my exercise, cycle, whatever. I go to a ball game, but I never lose sight of my business. I'm in touch with my managers all day long. If they need something, I will help facilitate getting it done. Like right now we have a motor in one of our exhaust fans that's out and it's getting very hot and I'm working to get that done for them.
Yeah.
Make sure it's comfortable. That's in the take it on delivery space. I do all the social. So I post images, I take images and put them up there on Instagram and on Facebook. So that keeps me very involved, but it's never overwhelming, you know? And I'm very fortunate because the business has really grown nicely.
Yeah.
So I do have the ability to do these things, but it has not come without a lot of hard work, focus on the business and building the business.
Yeah.
But taking care of your people, taking care of your product, and taking care of your customer.
That's all comes back to that.
That's exactly right. You know?
Yeah.
20 years, we were given the highest honor by Pizza Today magazine as the number one independent pizzeria in the country in 2013, I think. And then they had me as a keynote speaker, you know. So it's quite an honor, you know, when those things come back, it's really nice. But it's me and it's my team, and it's, you know, it's providing direction. And,
yeah.
And it's been great.
Well, the other thing I heard there is trusting them, you know, so that you're not micromanaging. And I know that sometimes entrepreneurs have that issue with letting go and trusting someone. Was that ever a challenge for you?
Yeah, I think that in the early days it was, absolutely. You know, it's part of, you know, it was part of the growing process. You know, I don't know that I could have started out being the person I am today back then. It's an interesting thought. You know, I think that's part of growing as individuals. You know, it's going through these, you know, this growth and the process of learning and living and evolving as individuals, you know?
Hopefully evolving.
Yeah. You know, it really is essential to learn how to build a team and empower them to do it and to succeed themselves.
Yeah.
As business succeeds. And, you know, we don't succeed without each other. And
that is correct.
That is how it goes.
Yeah. And what triggered for me when you were talking there is we need those experiences because that's how we end up where we are today. I was guesting on someone else's podcast. She asked me a question. I really had no answer for it because, you know, back in 2003, when I got really sick and I collapsed and I've had doctors say, can't believe you're still alive. And it was like a 10-year journey, start to finish of, well, the two chapters. The first chapter was getting to the point where I wasn't sick anymore. The second chapter was actually becoming an athlete again. And she asked me, she said, if you could go back and skip that, would you? And on one hand, it's like, well, yeah, who wants to be sick for that long? And on the other hand, it's like, what I learned, how I grew, man, I wouldn't, now maybe if I could get that without having to go through being sick, maybe it'd be a yes, but I don't think I'd trade that because those are the things that make us into who we are today.
That's exactly right. Those are those life, invaluable life experiences, you know?
Yeah.
And you think about, you know, we all think about what as we get older, you know, what would it be like? Would you want to go back to being a kid or a teenager? I'm like, no way. I mean, I learned it and I survived. And I had those experiences and those experiences have made me who I am today. And
that's
those
right.
Mistakes, let's just say that we make mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. And I tell my people that it's fine. I tell my manager, it's okay. You know, we're going to make mistakes and I'm not going to be upset. We learn because it just happens. You know, we make mistakes as a business. It's about recognizing those mistakes and learning from them.
Yeah. And being okay with making them.
Absolutely. No question about it. You know,
I don't know if it's something that comes with, you know, as you get older, because I turned 55 this year, but I know that when I was like in my 20s and 30s, man, I wanted to be perfect. And at a point you just realize that is so elusive. And you're never going to achieve it. So just embrace it and say, okay, well, how can I learn from this mistake or this failure? Not that I like making mistakes, but they're going to happen.
They will absolutely happen.
Yeah.
And I also think, Bobby, is that, you know, you start to recognize these things. They become more in focus as you have had these experiences and you grow older people. You know, you don't start out as a young person recognizing that there is no perfection in the world. You know, there's no perfection as individuals. There's no perfection in a yoga practice because you just don't get there. It is part of the journey, right?
It's all part of the journey.
And that's okay. You know, that's good. That's a good thing. We have the journey. We're fortunate to have the journey.
Yeah. You know, I'm laughing. I remember when I first started doing yoga, this was years ago in Chicago, and I was terrible. Like it was just, I was trying to do downward facing dog and it was terrible. Like it was just bad. And my yoga instructor said, and I'm like, this isn't yoga. And she's like, for you right now, this is yoga. This is just where you are in your practice.
Exactly.
And it made me feel better because I could see these other people. And I'm like, well, I'm not like that. I'm not even close.
Yeah. But, you know, after doing it, you recognize that, you understand that it's not competitive. It's about your practice, about your growth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's about your body opening up and becoming more flexible, more and stronger.
Yeah. Yeah. And
you know,
you said that
turning out, it's all about your growth.
It's all about yours. And now you said you do yoga every day, right?
Almost every day. Yeah.
Yeah.
I might take a day off a week, but you know, one of the silver linings in COVID was that I was able to go to Zoom in with my instructors.
Which is so awesome.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. I went down to Florida for a bunch of months and I had never left Chicago for more than 10 days. And you talk about growth and a liberating experience. And again, I could have gone away in the past, but I just never did because I've been a creature of habit. But I went down to Florida and I had the good fortune of spending time with my parents who were older, and I would shop and I'd cook for them, and they're doing well. They were there from New Haven, and we spent important time together. And,
that's nice.
You know, to have this at this stage of my life and stage that they're in, we're very lucky.
Yeah, that's really nice.
But it's all about, getting back to this. So that's a silver lining, you know, and being able to Zoom during COVID with my instructors was a great thing. So, you know, and again, you know, you talk about work-life balance. It's something that's essential, you know, and the early days, we work our butts off. We learn, we make mistakes. It's just how it is, you know?
Yeah.
But we need to take our businesses, you know, very seriously all the time and to have a path for it, right? Have a path. Know how to take care of your people, know your product, know how to present it to your customers, and know how to market it.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think we might have gotten cut off before, but I was suggesting that people check out our marketing on our Instagram at Peace Chicago. That's P-I-E-C-E Chicago on Instagram and Facebook. Bro Bagel is Bro Bagel, B-R-O-B-A-G-E-L. The websites are peacechicago.com and brobagel.com.
That's perfect.
And you can check out our marketing. I do all the social. I post all the images, and most of the images are images that I've taken.
Yeah. Is that the best way for people to reach out to you too, by the way?
Yes. My email is peace@gmail.com. It goes directly to me.
Okay. Perfect. Yeah. And then one final thing too. I'm glad you mentioned that. I know that you were doing some cool stuff helping some of the, was it with music? I think it was with music,
yes.
Right?
Right.
Tell us a little bit about that, because
sure.
I think that's important.
Giving back to the community is an essential part of our mission as a business here in Chicago. It always has been. And during COVID, when so many restaurant industry people were out of work, we had one day in which we gave away 100 pizzas to people out of work.
Wow.
In the restaurant business, and people just had to go on and call us and order their pizza. We had one day 100 pizzas.
That's
Rick Nielsen from Cheap Trick, who is a business partner of mine, contacted me. He said, "Bill, I love what we did with giving away the pizza." He said, "What do you think about doing something to give back to the venues, the performance venues that have been closed by the pandemic?" I'm like, "Whoa, that's a great idea." There's an organization here called Civil, C-I-V-L, Chicago Independent Venue League. And they advocate on behalf of all the performance venues closed by the pandemic. So I contacted them and I'm like, "Let's create pizzas and we'll give a portion of the proceeds to them."
Nice.
So Rick got his buddy Sammy Hagar to create a pizza with him.
Nice.
And that was the first one. And then Martina McBride, the great country singer, loves our pizza. And I pitched her on it. And she said, "Absolutely, I love this idea." We had a couple of chefs here. Steph Izard from Girl and the Goat. She won Top Chef. And Rob from Publican Meats. Hmm. Great pizzas. Great successful program. And ending today, I believe, is the great Patti Smith's pizza.
Wow.
And Patti Smith, who's in the Hall of Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, along with Cheap Trick, created a pizza. And it's a fantastic pizza. It's a white pizza with prosciutto, fontina cheese, roasted cherry tomatoes, and roasted serranos. And it's topped with
arugula
and a light lemon dressing. It is awesome. So it's
that
got
sounds so good.
Great flavors and a nice burn. And it's so good. And, you know, we've raised thousands of dollars for this organization and we've created awareness for it. And hopefully they're going to be opening soon.
Yeah. Let's hope. I think people are ready.
Yeah.
You know, that is so cool that you guys did that. I think I saw one of your posts, and I think it was the one with Martina McBride.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And she actually did a video for us. You could see that on our Instagram page.
Yeah.
She did a message on our phone. So if you called up to place an order, you would get Martina McBride talking about her pizza. Yeah.
Oh, man.
She's so great. She's a wonderful, nice lady.
God.
Her pizza was outstanding.
That's cool. That's cool. Yeah. I love that you guys are doing that. Yeah. You know,
so, I mean, that's an example for other people in business, whether in the restaurant mm-hmm. business or not, you know, get involved in the community and give back and let people know that you're doing it. People want to see that sort of thing.
Yep. I think really people like that more now than at any time before. Like, I think it's really important.
It's very important.
Yeah.
You know, we are lucky, fortunate to be in this business in this great city. And we have to give back. It's just how it is. It's who we are. And we love it. We love being here.
Yeah. Well, and I think it goes back to something you said earlier, right? We're not in it by ourselves, or we're not alone. Yeah. We're in it together. So I love that. Well, this has been great. I think that's a great way to end. And I'll put in the show notes, I'll put the links to the social media that you mentioned so that people can find it very easily. And I just want to thank you for your time, because I know you're busy, and hopefully you can get the motor and the exhaust fan taken care of. And it's hot there today, right?
It is hot.
Yeah. Oh, of course.
Yeah, the fan went down and pieced out the delivery and takeout place. And it's going to be warm there, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll get there. That's one of those things. You know, it's just part of being in business. Things break down. You got to get them fixed.
Yeah.
You know, it just happens. So thank you for having me.
Oh, you're very welcome.
It's great seeing you and Rick.
Yeah.
And, you know, if you ever want to do it again, I'm here. We can talk about anything.
Perfect. I appreciate that.
All right.
I don't know about you, but I have found myself really wanting a slice of pizza during that conversation. And that's disappointing, because I can't get pizza up here. But here are my three insights for thriving. Number one, as we grow, we're going to make mistakes. We're going to experience failures and setbacks and challenges. And that is okay. It is all part of the journey to becoming who we are today. Number two, rejection is part of the game. But find what you believe in enough to persist through it. That belief will fuel our confidence and our persistence. And number three, I loved it when Billy talked about finding ways to stay fresh and continuing to grow. And I think that is not only great advice for businesses, but for our lives as well. I think about the times when I've been most energized in life, and it's usually around those times when I was truly engaged and growing in some way. Like, and for me, it can even be a simple advancement of a skill or a hobby or a sport, like tackling a new hill in cross-country skiing, you know, just something that pushes me forward a little bit. I find that exciting and energizing. So those are my three insights. And as always, I just wanted to say a very sincere thank you so much for tuning in and listening and sharing the podcast with others. And we are coming up on our one-year anniversary with the show. And as I've looked back, I was thinking about why I started it in the first place. And that there were a few reasons: to engage with interesting guests, to share stories of people who inspire me and who I believe have valuable wisdom to share, and to encourage everyone to keep going and keep following their dreams and aspirations, because thriving is possible for all of us. So make it a great week, and we'll see you again next week.